The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
We're going to return now to a story that we covered last week, but in a bit more detail this time, because we have audio from a central figure in the saga, which we've not broadcast previously, but will do now. It's an interview with David Walsh of the Sunday Times. Now, last week, as you probably know at this stage, the former sports journalist Tom Humphries attended a sentencing hearing in the criminal courts, having pleaded guilty to six of the most serious charges imaginable: the sexual abuse of a teenage girl, a minor who was below the age of consent, two charges related to the defilement of a child, while the remaining four concerned inviting a child to participate in sexually explicit, obscene or indecent acts. Truly vile stuff. The victim was just 14 years of age when she first came into contact with the journalist in December 2008. Humphries worked as a volunteer coach at a prominent GAA club on Dublin's north side. The 14-year-old was a camogie player known to be vulnerable because of an eating disorder. Humphries began to text her about school issues and camogie, but then those texts became sexual, increasingly graphic and explicit. More than 16,000 texts were exchanged in one three-month period. The sexual abuse of the minor began in December 2010 at an apartment where Humphries lived since he separated already from his wife and family. The sexual abuse continued over the next 14 months. I'm not going to go into many of the details that were disclosed in the court last week because they are distressing. It was the text messages that unmasked Humphries as a paedophile. In March 2011, Humphries gave his old phone to one of his daughters who was collecting them to be recycled for charity. It was without a SIM card, but all of his old texts and photos were still available to view because he hadn't deleted them. His daughter, not surprisingly, was shocked and appalled by what she found. She showed her mother and together they went to the Gardaí. When the Gardaí began investigating Humphries, he attempted suicide, the first of two attempts. He was admitted to St Vincent's Hospital and then moved to St Patrick's, a psychiatric hospital in Dublin. He couldn't be questioned or arrested while in hospital, but the Gardaí continued their investigations. The Sunday World newspaper in April 2011 named him, but other newspapers and broadcasters didn't do so on legal advice, as no charges had been brought. Now, Humphries was eventually interviewed by the Gardaí in September 2012, but chose not to make any admissions in case he incriminated himself. The Director of Public Prosecutions instructed that he be charged in February 2014, leading to his eventual guilty pleas. He's in prison now and will find out the length of his sentence later this month. He is not without support, however, as the judge comes to decide the sentence. It was revealed in court last week that two men had given character references in his support. One is a prominent GAA figure who has not been named. The second was named yesterday. And it was David Walsh, the chief sports writer for the Sunday Times, who was quoted in his own newspaper as saying, "The young girl whose trust Tom betrayed has suffered terribly from this crime. I wrote a personal character reference for Tom because we had been friends for 30 years and despite the serious wrong he had done, I could not abandon him." We're going to play now for you some relevant portions of a December 2012 interview with David Walsh that we recorded but did not broadcast. The interview was about Walsh's book Seven Deadly Sins, which outlined his campaign to unmask the cyclist Lance Armstrong as a drugs cheat. Armstrong was something of an icon. A cancer survivor who had beaten all the odds, not just to live, but to become a champion. He used his status and profile to raise enormous funds for charity, leading many to lionise him. Walsh, along with other journalists like Paul Kimmage, did not allow Armstrong's profile to deter him from doing what was right. The book was also part memoir on Walsh's part, and it contained a reference to Humphries that amazed me at the time when I read it, but I was even more surprised when, during the interview, he introduced Tom Humphries to our conversation. Have a listen to this.
I went to Atlanta in 96 and we had the Michelle Smith story. I mean, the amount of times Paul Kimmage, Tom Humphries and I discussed that, and we just couldn't accept it. We just thought this is a story that demands you act not as a cheerleader, but as a journalist. And that was a very interesting time in my life. I mean, Paul and I always felt we were, you know, we were strong on that story. But Tom Humphries was amazing. I mean, the work that Tom did on that story was probably the finest sports journalism I've ever seen. And so that had a big influence on me. And in the sense that I thought, you know, this is the template. This is how you do it. You know, you don't accept. You find sources, you ask them questions, and you stay on the case, regardless of how much intimidation there is from the other side.
Now, I moved the interview on at that point and said that although he had brought up the subject of Humphreys, he had done so, not me. I need to be careful in what we could say, as there was much being said about Tom Humphreys at the time that couldn't be aired on radio or appear in print for legal reasons. I also told him that during the recording that I would return to his views of Humphreys later in the interview, especially as, having read the book in full, I've been very thrown to see Walsh not just write about Humphreys as a journalist, but to describe him, despite the circumstances of an ongoing criminal investigation, as a fine man too. So this is what happened later in the interview. Now, bear in mind, this is December 2012. No charges have been brought as yet, so Tom Humphreys was, in the eyes of the law, an innocent man. And for me to have said otherwise would have been to risk an action against me in the station for libel. So I had to choose my words carefully. Although I, along with many other journalists, had heard the stories about Humphreys' behaviour, all of which have since turned out to be true. Anyway, here is David Walsh again responding to me. David, you mentioned Tom Humphreys earlier in this interview, and I'm going to have to take great care in how I actually phrase these particular questions to you. And I think possibly you're going to have to take great care in how you answer them as well, because readers of the Irish Times will be aware of the fact that Tom Humphreys' byline has not appeared in that newspaper for quite a considerable period of time now. And readers of other newspapers will be aware of very serious allegations having been made against him, the fact that there has been a Garda investigation. Indeed, it was reported recently that he was interviewed by the Gardaí recently and that a file has gone to the Director of Public Prosecutions, and a decision has to be taken as to whether very, very serious charges will be brought. And I noticed in the book how you wrote about you and Paul Kimmage and him being at events such as the Olympics in 1996, and I could understand why you had those pieces included in your book. But in your acknowledgements at the end, as well as saying Tom Humphreys is by some distance the most talented sports writer I've ever read, and that's something you've just said in this interview as well earlier, you then followed with a four-line sentence, a fine man too. Now, given what is out there in the public about Tom Humphreys and given the difficulty, was that not perhaps a little bit provocative to make a comment like that, even if he is your friend?
No, I don't believe it's provocative at all, Matt. I believe it's a statement of that I believe to be true. And we're not really in a position here to discuss the minutiae of the case. There may have been, you know, I mean, that will be decided. I know Tom and I've known him for a long time. And he's a great, great man. And he, as we know, he's an incredibly talented writer. And
which are two different things.
Yes, of course they're different things, but in my view, he is a fine man, and I will always believe that. And I maybe know a bit more than most people about the charges, you know, and about the situation that Tom has found himself in. You know, there's no question, in my mind that he is a fine man.
But can I put it to you, David? You see, the problem that I had, and I'm not saying he's not a fine man. I'm not saying he's a fine man. I'm not making any comments because I don't know Tom Humphreys well. I've only met him on a couple of occasions, interviewed him on a couple of occasions. But given what's in the public domain and has come into the public domain, would it not appear strange perhaps to people in that you're defending him in that some respects he is, it's a bit parallel with the whole Lance Armstrong situation. If somebody had defended Lance Armstrong in the way that you're defending him, you would not have believed them.
No, Matt. I think the comparison you've made is odious. I really do. I think completely inappropriate. And all I would say about the Tom situation, all that I'm going to say is that I know a damn sight more about it than most people. And I believe Tom is a fine man. And I believe that in the end, that will come out and people will understand he's a fine man. And I guarantee you, anybody who knows Tom and has remained in touch with him over the last 2.5 years, you know, will offer you exactly the same view that I'm offering. And they will have no doubts. And Tom has shown himself to be a fine man through this.
We didn't broadcast any of this at the time. I don't think it's unfair to do so now because David Walsh effectively doubled down on the support for Humphreys by his plea to the judge and in his comments to the Sunday Times yesterday. And it is somewhat incredible that a man who correctly was amongst those who pursued Lance Armstrong and exposed him as a fraud has given a character reference for Humphreys in light of what was known about him at the time he gave that interview to me. Tom Humphreys isn't a victim in any of this, and nor is he a fine man. His GA involvement is not a mitigating reference, especially when he abused that position to take advantage of a vulnerable girl. It's worth noting that the victim thanked Tom Humphrey's family, who must know the real Tom Humphrey's a lot better than David Walsh, for saving her. This is what she said in her victim impact statement. Without them reporting this, I do not know where I would be today. I would be forever grateful to them for saving me from the situation. I hope and pray that you can all get past this and somehow manage to live a normal, healthy life. That girl, who's now an adult, said she lost her childhood due to the ordeal of having to deal with the Gardaí, solicitors and social workers from the age of 16, that she had been left suicidal. The victim impact report said that the victim has permanent flashbacks and panic attacks and that for years it ruined her life. Here's another quote. I never felt as low and as small about myself until this happened to me. Dealing with sexual encounters with a man three times my age made me physically, mentally and emotionally ill, she wrote. Her identity is protected by a court order. The victim was in court for the hearing, but she declined to accept a letter of apology from Tom Humphreys. His senior counsel, Hugh Hartnett, defending, said that Humphreys was suicidal and seriously depressed. He said that Humphreys was deeply remorseful, but that he didn't want treatment because he feels he should be punished. The judge has ordered that he will get treatment. We'll discover before the end of the month how long he'll remain in prison while he gets that treatment.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.